This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, I got no time for that. All right, Mike Pompeo gave a speech, okay? And one of the things that, you know, I've talked about my own opinion about the about President Obama and how he would go down, history would judge him harshly as a weak president. And for whatever reason, every president seems that they can do this. Oh, you know, we just need somebody smarter to deal with Russia. Okay? Let's hit the reset button. Okay? Let's look into his soul or whatever the hell he looked into. Okay? And now Trump wants to have a great relationship. Why does it never work out? Why are they so ignorant? Why are they so arrogant about it? Okay? Dictators understand one thing. Strength. Okay. Now, one of the things I wanted to play for you today that I'll wind up playing tomorrow, because we're going to focus on Russia a little bit, is I want to play a segment of the Aspen Security Forum devoted to Russia. It had Khrushchev's granddaughter, who's a Russian analyst here in the United States. It's great stuff. Absolutely, positively great stuff. The tools that that Russia is using on the rest of the world, where do you think they were honed? Inside Russia during the Cold War. How to spread disinformation. Although it's just become easier now. Because Russia now has tools at its disposal that allow us not to have to create infrastructure and get access to mainstream media and things like that. Okay. They can now do it from the comfort of their own chairs. It's awesome. And only rarely, when they're looking to make a huge splash in the pond, do they need to venture out and have operatives that actually go organize and put stuff together. Okay? That's kind of like the cherry on top when we're seeking to make the heat boil over the cauldron. Okay? So we don't have that many assets. We need to use them wisely, yada, 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 yada. So anyway, Mike Pompeo's speech is much in the news. It has given the president a great way to use his Twitter account and be the leader that we all know and love. What? Yeah, exactly. All right, so here's Mike Pompeo's speech. That's not Mike Pompeo right there. That's somebody else. That's actually Iggy Pop singing Lust for Life.
Thank you, Fred, for that kind introduction.
Mike Pompeo.
It reminded me when I was going through my confirmation process, they were chasing down all the people I'd known my whole life, and they found one of the young men who played basketball with me at Los Amigos, and his quote was, they asked how good I was, and he said, well, he made the most of what he had. thanks for the kind introduction, and thanks for hosting me here at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Library. It's a very special place and an honor for me to be here. I want to thank my friend Tom for joining me here tonight. He and I have been on multiple missions together, and I'm confident we will continue to do so in the days and weeks and years ahead. And it's great to see Governor Wilson here. Voted for you a couple times, a long time ago. And I know we have many members of the Iranian-American community with us this evening. This is just a fraction of the 250,000 Iranian-Americans in Southern California alone. We have many Iranian-American guests from all across the United States here as well. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you this evening, learning more about the situation in Iran as you see it, and understanding what your loved one and friends are going through living in that place. And I recognize the Iranian diaspora is diverse. There are many faith backgrounds and many different walks of life, and that's a good thing. And not all Iranian Americans see things the same way. But I think everyone can agree that the regime in Iran has been a nightmare for the Iranian people. And it's important that your unity on that point is not diminished by differences elsewhere. To our Iranian American and to our Iranian American friends, tonight I want to tell you that the Trump administration dreams the same dreams for the people of Iran as you do. And through our labors and God's providence, that day will come true. Next year will mark the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. As I'll spell out more in a moment, the 40 years of fruit from the revolution has been bitter. 40 years of kleptocracy. 40 years of the people's wealth squandered on supporting terrorism. 40 years of ordinary Iranians thrown in jail for peaceful expression of their rights. Why has the regime conducted itself in such an abhorrent way over the past 40 years and subjected its people to these conditions? It's an important question. The answer is at root in the revolutionary nature of the regime itself. The ideologues who forcibly came to power in 1979 and remain in power today are driven by a desire to conform all of Iranian society to the tenets of the Islamic Revolution. The regime is also committed to spreading the revolution to other countries, if by force, if necessary. The total fulfillment of the revolution at home and abroad is the regime's ultimate goal. It drives their behavior. Thus, the regime has spent four decades mobilizing all elements of the Iranian economy, foreign policy.
Hey, what's up? My friend Calic and I here. In a moment, I'm going to step into my office here at my home and pull out my computer.
And political life in service of that.
Okay, just so you know, that in these speeches, sometimes, and this one is evidently one of them. Hold on. I'm not going to endure that tyranny, okay? So, bear with me.
Thank you for a kind introduction.
Bear with me while I adjust. 4 minutes and 2 seconds. Okay, so we'll fast forward. 4 minutes and 2 seconds. Here you go. Without that nonsense.
Dictators and proxy militias. Today, thanks to regime subsidies, the average Hezbollah combatant makes 2 to 3 times what an Iranian firefighter makes on the streets of Iran. Regime mismanagement has led to the rial plummeting in value. A third of Iranian youth are unemployed, and a third of Iranians now live below the poverty line. The bitter irony of the economic situation in Iran is that the regime uses this same time to line its own pockets while its people cry out for jobs and reform and for opportunity. The Iran economy is going great, but only if you're a politically connected member of the elite. 2 years ago, Iranians rightfully erupted in anger when leaked pay stubs showed massive amounts of money inexplicably going into the bank accounts of senior government officials. And there are many more examples of the widespread corruption. Take Sadiq Larijani, the head of Iran's judiciary. He's worth at least $300 million. He got this money from embezzling public funds into his own bank account. The Trump administration sanctioned Larijani in January for human rights abuses because we weren't afraid to tackle the regime at its highest level.
Now, this is a little bit of Pompeo as Secretary of State and former CIA guy. He's going to pull back the curtain on some Iranian shit here. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Call me crazy, you won't be the first, but I'm a little skeptical that a thieving thug under international sanctions is the right man to be Iran's highest-ranking judicial official. Former IRG officer and Minister of Interior Sadiq Masouli is nicknamed the Billionaire General. He went from being a poor IRGC officer at the end of the Iran-Iraq War to being worth billions of dollars. How'd that happen? He somehow had a knack for winning lucrative construction and oil trading contracts from businesses associated with the IRGC. Being an old college buddy of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad just might have had something to do with it as well. The Ayatollahs are in on the act, too. Judging by their vast wealth, they seem more concerned with riches than religion. These hypocritical holy men have devised all kinds of crooked schemes to become some of the wealthiest men on earth while their people suffer. Grand Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi is known as the Sultan of Sugar for his illicit trading of sugar, which has generated over $100 million for him. He's pressured the Iranian government to lower subsidies to domestic sugar producers while he floods the market with his own, more expensive, imported sugar. This type of activity puts ordinary Iranians out of work. Another Ayatollah, one of Tehran's variety paragliders, for the past 30 years had the government transfer several lucrative mines to his foundation. He, too, is now worth millions of dollars. And not many people know this, but the Ayatollah Khamenei has his own personal, off-the-books hedge fund called the Seitat, worth $95 billion with a B, dollars. That wealth is...
Did you hear that? Groan in the audience? Pompeo throwing his shit in the street.
Untaxed, it is ill-gotten, and it is used as a slush fund for the IRGC. The Ayatollah fills his coffers by devouring whatever he wants. In 2013, the Seitat's agents banished an 82-year-old Baha'i woman from her apartment and confiscated the property after a long campaign of harassment. Seizing land from religious minorities and political rivals is just another day at the office with this juggernaut that has interest in everything from real estate to telecoms to ostrich farming. All of it is done with the blessing of Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, this list goes on, but we've got places to go tonight. The level of corruption and wealth among Iranian leaders shows that Iran is run by something that resembles the mafia more than a government. On foreign policy, the regime's mission of exporting the revolution is to produce a decades-long campaign of ideologically motivated violence and destabilization abroad. Assad, Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, Shia militant groups in Iraq, and the Houthis in Yemen feed on billions of regime cash, while the Iranian people shout slogans like, "Leave Syria, think about us." Our partners in the Middle East are plagued by Iranian cyber attacks and threatening behavior in the waters of the Persian Gulf. The regime and its allies in terror have left a trail of dissident blood across Europe and the Middle East. Indeed, our European allies are not immune to the threat of regime-backed terrorism. Just earlier this month, an Iranian diplomat based in Vienna was arrested and charged with supplying explosives for a terrorist bomb scheduled to bomb a political rally in France. This tells you everything you need to know about the regime. At the same time, they're trying to convince Europe to stay in the nuclear deal. They're covertly plotting terrorist attacks in the heart of Europe. And because fighting the United States and destroying Israel is at the core of the regime's ideology, it has committed and supported many acts of violence and terrorism against both countries and our citizens. As just one example, well over 1,000 American service members have been killed and wounded in Iraq from Iranian-made IEDs. Today, multiple Americans are detained and missing inside of Iran. Bakr Namazi, Siamak Namazi, Xiu Wang are unjustly held by the regime to this day, and Bob Levinson has been missing in Iran for over 11 years. There are others, too, and we in the Trump administration are working diligently to bring each of those Americans home for having wrongfully detained for far too long. Despite the regime's If there were only so much freedom of expression in Iran, you know, despite the regime's clear record of aggression, America and other countries have spent years straining to identify a political moderate.
All right, let me just tell you what happened. Okay, she got up. Whoever this woman was, and began yelling. You can't understand what she's saying. The Trump-Pence regime is kidnapping children. Right? And so that's what she was screaming about. So anyway, not about his speech relative to Iran, but making a statement about our border. So here you go.
It's like an Iranian unicorn. The regime's revolutionary goals and willingness to commit violent acts haven't produced anyone to lead Iran that can be remotely called a moderate or a statesman. Some believe that President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif fit that bill. The truth is, they are merely polished frontmen for the Ayatollah's international con artistry. Their nuclear deal didn't make them moderates. It made them wolves in sheep's clothing. Governments around the world worry that confronting the Islamic Republic harms the cause of moderates. But these so-called moderates within the regime are still violent Islamic revolutionaries with an anti-America, anti-West agenda. You only have to take their own words for it. And for that matter, the evidence reveals that their agenda is an anti-Iran agenda as well. The regime's absolute adherence to the Islamic revolutions means it cannot endure any ideas in the Iranian society that would contradict or undermine it, unlike we just did here this evening. It's why the regime has for decades heartlessly repressed its own people's human rights, dignity, and fundamental freedoms. It's why the Iranian police detained a teenage Iranian gymnast for posting an Instagram video of herself dancing. It's why the regime arrests hundreds of Azawahis, members of Iran's minority Arab community, when they speak out to demand respect for their language and for their basic beliefs. The government's morality police beat women in the streets and arrest those who do not wish to wear the hijab. On White Wednesday, one activist was recently sentenced to 20 years in prison for protesting compulsory hijab wearing. The desire to uphold the Islamic resolution has especially resulted in gross suppression of the freedom of religion in Iran, often to barbaric ends. Last month, a simple man, a bus driver, a father of two children, and a member of the Iranian Gobadi Sufi Dervish community was convicted and sentenced to death. His sentence came on questionable grounds, following violent clashes between security forces and the Dervishes. He was reportedly denied access to a lawyer before and during his grossly unfair trial. This man, Mr. Salas, and his supporters maintains his innocence throughout, reportedly stating he'd been tortured into a forced confession. Sadly, on June 18th, the regime hanged Mr. Salas in prison. His death was part of a larger crackdown that began in February when at least 300 Sufis demanding the release of their fellow faith members were unjustly arrested. Right now, hundreds of Sufi Muslims in Iran remain imprisoned on account of their religious beliefs, with reports of several having died at the hands of the regime's brutal security forces. Among those in prison is the 91-year-old leader, Dr. Nur Ali Tabanda, who has been under house arrest for at least the last part of 4 months, the greatest part of 4 months. He's in need of immediate medical care. The religious intolerance of the regime in Iran does not only extend to Sufi Muslims. The same goes for Christians and Jews and Sunnis and Baha'is and Zoroastrians and members of many other groups inside of Iran who live with the fear that their next prayer may be indeed their last. What grieves us so badly about the treatment of religious minorities in Iran is that their presence far predates the regime. They are a historic part of the rich fabric of an ancient and vibrant Iranian civilization. That fabric has been torn by intolerant, black-robed enforcers. When other faiths are suppressed, the image of Iran becomes a self-portrait of the Ayatollahs and of the IRGC. In response to myriad government failures, corruption, and disrespect of rights, since December, Iranians have been taking to the streets in the most enduring and forceful protests since 1979. Some shout the slogan, "The people are paupers while the mullahs live like gods." Others choose to shut down the Grand Bazaar in Tehran. The specific grievances do differ, but all those voicing dissatisfaction share one thing. They have been ill-treated by a revolutionary regime. Iranians want to be governed with dignity, accountability, and respect.
The, You know, what's interesting about his speech is you rarely hear somebody use information like this in a speech like this in terms of calling a nation out. And I don't know if this is designed as a pivotal speech in our relationship with Iran. It is certainly has the seemingly, obviously, Pompeo's views shared by John Bolton. So, again, which, and I'll link it back to Trey Gowdy. Okay. Trey Gowdy, believes that if the president won't listen to these guys, and they are no doves or no appeasers relative to Russia, that those men need to resign. All right. And again, that's coming from Republicans, not Democrats. Okay. And in the face of this, you know, Barack Obama, faced with the same set of circumstance, he took the European approach, which is appeasing. Why? Because if we don't go down this road of conflict, that Europe clearly has no appetite for, we lose about $500 billion worth of business with Iran. That our nations will do. So, I mean, clearly that's more important than whatever nuclear weapons and however Iran would threaten the Middle East. And Barack Obama, in my opinion, you know, he sided on that side. And I believe Iran played him like they play Europe. He's got about 10 more minutes left in his speech.
The regime's brutal response to these peaceful protests reflects the intolerance that its revolutionary worldview has produced. Last January, the regime welcomed in the new year with the arrest of up to 5,000 of its own people. They were peacefully calling for a better life. Hundreds reportedly remain behind bars, and several are dead at the hands of their own government. The leaders cynically call it suicide. Overall, it's clear. The regime's ideology has led many Iranians to be angry they cannot call their homeland a normal country. They know that a constitution that enshrines the export of Islamic revolution and the destruction of its neighbors and the restriction of citizenship is not normal. Ordinary Iranians know that their government's torture of its own people is not normal. Earning multiple rounds of sanctions by the UN Security Council is not normal. Inciting chants of death to America and death to Israel is not normal. Being the number one state sponsor of terror is similarly abnormal. Sometimes it seems the world has become desensitized to the regime's authoritarianism at home and its campaigns of violence abroad. But the proud Iranian people are not staying silent about their government's many abuses. And the United States, under President Trump, will not stay silent either. In light of these protests and 40 years of regime tyranny, I have a message for the people of Iran. The United States hears you. The United States supports you. The United States is with you. When the United States sees the shoots of liberty pushing up the Iraqi soil, we pledge our solidarity because we too took a hard first step towards becoming a free country a few years back. Right now, the United States is undertaking a diplomatic and financial pressure campaign to cut off the funds that the regime uses to enrich itself and support death and destruction. We have an obligation to put maximum pressure on the regime's ability to generate and move money, and we will do so. At the center of this campaign is the reimposition of sanctions on Iran's banking and energy sectors. As we've explained over the last few weeks, our focus is to work with countries importing Iranian crude oil to get imports as close to zero as possible by November 4th. Zero. Recently, as part of this campaign, we designated the Bahraini Shia Militia terrorist organization Saraya al-Ashtar, and with the UAE, we have jointly disrupted a currency exchange network that was transferring millions of dollars to the IRGC. And there's more to come. Regime leaders, especially those at the top of the IRGC and the Quds Force like Qasem Soleimani, must be made to feel the painful consequences of their bad decision-making. We are asking every nation who is sick and tired of the Islamic Republic's destructive behavior to join our pressure campaign. This especially goes for our allies in the Middle East and Europe, people who have themselves been terrorized by the violent regime's activity for decades. And you should know that the United States is not afraid to spread our message on the airwaves and online inside of Iran either. For 40 years, the Iranian people have heard from their leaders that America is the great Satan. We do not believe they're interested in hearing the fake news any longer. Today, one in four Iranians, 14 million people, watches or listens to U.S. government broadcasts each week. And it's more important than ever now to refute the regime's lies and repeat our deep desire for friendship with the Iranian people. Right now, our U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors is taking new steps to help Iranians get around internet censorship as well. The BBG is launching a new 24/7 Farsi language TV channel. It will span not only television, but radio, digital, and social media format, so that the ordinary Iranians inside of Iran and around the globe can know that America stands with them. And finally, America is unafraid to expose human rights violations and support those who are being silenced. We continue to raise our concerns over the Islamic Republic's dire record of human rights abuses each time we speak at the UN and with our partners who maintain diplomatic relations with that country. We make it clear that the world is watching, and as the regime continues to make its own people the longest suffering victims, we will not stand silent. And now we call on everyone here in the audience and our international partners to help us shine a spotlight on the regime's abuses and to support the Iranian people. The goal of ours is one day see Iranians in Iran enjoying the same quality of life that Iranians in America enjoy. Iranians in America enjoy all the freedoms secured by their government, not trampled by it. They're free to pursue economic opportunities they believe are best for them and their families. And they can be proud of their country and practice their faith in the way they desire. There are a few individuals with us I want to highlight tonight who embody what we hope for the Iranian people. Ghali Amiri came to the United States as a freshman at Stanford and has founded successful companies and has served at the State Department and at the UN. Susan Azadeh was forced to leave everything behind and come here in 1979. Today, she is the leader of the Iranian American Jewish Federation.
The Iranian American Jewish Federation? Holy smokes. Tell me that's an easy job.
Macon Del Rahim, I think I saw him, came to America with his family when he was just 10 years old. He's now the Assistant Attorney General at the Department of Justice. Quite amazing. We hope that the successes of Ghali and Susan and Macon and the many other Iranian Americans among the diaspora in the United States remind all Iranians of what is possible under a government that respects its people and governs with accountability. Iranians should not have to flee their homeland to find a better life. While it is ultimately up to the Iranian people to determine the direction of their country, the United States, in the spirit of our own freedoms, will support the long-ignored voice of the Iranian people. Our hope is that ultimately the regime will make meaningful changes in its behavior, both inside of Iran and globally. As President Trump has said, we're willing to talk with the regime in Iran, but relief from American pressure will come only when we see tangible, demonstrated, and sustained shifts in Tehran's policies. I thought I'd close tonight in a perfectly appropriate way by invoking the words of a man who routinely made the case for freedom and respect far more eloquently than I ever could, President Ronald Reagan. In 1982, President Reagan gave a speech to the British Parliament that became known as the Westminster Address. He urged other Western governments to support those around the world trying to break free of tyranny and injustice. His reason why was simple and powerful. He said, "Freedom is not the sole prerogative of a lucky few, but the inalienable right and universal right of every human being. This is why we also call on all governments to end flirtations with a revolutionary regime and come quickly to the aid of the Iranian people. On that same day, in those same remarks, President Reagan said, "Let us ask ourselves, what kind of people do you think we are? And let us answer, free people, worthy of freedom, and determined not only to remain so, but to help others gain their freedom as well." Today, the United States condemns oppression levied on the Iranian people by those who rule unjustly, and we proudly amplify the voices of those in Iran longing to have those inalienable and universal human rights cease to be ignored and instead to be honored. We do so knowing that many in the streets and marketplaces speak for those who the regime has permanently silenced over the years, who may even have had loved ones who are in the audience tonight. It's America's hope that the next 40 years of Iran's history will not be marked by repression and fear, but with freedom and fulfillment for the Iranian people. Thank you.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, rarely do you see somebody's personal financial shit thrown in the street by a Secretary of State. Rarely in speeches do you hear them called out by name and then their means of accumulating wealth trotted out for the world and everybody. Mike Pompeo, yesterday at the Ronald Reagan Library, giving his speech. Again, the speech was interrupted by somebody. I got a comment about the interruption, too, and immigration. But I wanted to play that for you because you're seeing snippets of it, and I hate snippets. I think that, you know, you're seeing snippets so that you can see other content in the Jerry Springer event that goes on every day. So I think you're better off listening to the whole thing, getting the gist of what he was trying to say. And it'll be interesting to see if this marks an escalation in, direct statements from the United States towards the nation of Iran relative to the way it operates. So so we'll see. We'll see if this is the first of many. But a lot of stuff going on. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I've got a couple emails about the speech, one about me being late. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who are led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warriors Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
Music seems appropriate for the mood I'm in today. I find it ridiculous. I mean, almost like, imagine like, those GIFs that you see? Right? There's a whole bunch of them that are like the eye roll GIF, like, Trump's a tough guy today. Nice. Alright, tough guy. You know what they say about tough guys that are only tough against guys that are smaller than them? They're not very tough. Right. It's like the guys who used to wear, remember those No Fear shirts? The guys that I know that weren't afraid, they weren't wearing a t-shirt telling everybody they weren't afraid. Just for the record, okay? Just for the record. So, anyway, email, critical of me, tardiness is the title. Good morning, Mac. I was told at an early age, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. Get it together, man. Be well. That's like enlisted bullshit, okay? Right? Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Hysteria and nonsense from the Marine Corps. Now, there is a little bit of truth to it, but come on. This ain't boot camp, bro. This whole Iranian thing. Yeah, how fortuitous is it for the president? Yeah. I'm talking about it. Anyway, on Pompeo, we never heard the swift boat hero talk like that. Or Hildebeest, the champion of women around the world. No, you know, I think there's a fundamental way that you can approach the world. You can walk down Ronald Reagan's footsteps. Which I think is, and again, that's why I want you to hear, that's why I want you to hear some of the stuff that came out of Aspen. One of the things I want you to hear is the thing about Russia that I was going to play today before these other things happened. So I'll play it tomorrow. But why is Putin building intermediate range nuclear missiles in violation of the START treaty? Because he needs the START treaty. What? Yeah. He needs the START treaty. So he's trying to develop a chip that forces that he can concede in a negotiation relative to START. What do you mean? Talk to me. Tell me about it. He cannot afford financially a nuclear arms race with the United States. It's what bankrupted Russia to begin with. Okay? Trying to remain a peer when they couldn't. Remember, economy the size of Canada, so they're faking it. All the time they're faking it. He's a fraud. Okay? But he's a good one. He plays the whole part well. And then where are they a bully? They're a bully internally on their periphery where they can mass, right? Where they can mass. That's what Russia can do. Russia is extended in their single deployment in Syria. So what they can least afford is to have to devote billions of rubles, I don't even know if billions, gazillions of rubles to an arms race, right? Again, an economy the size of Canada cannot afford. The other thing that's interesting is Russians universally reject democracy. Doesn't work for them. The experience that they had when they went down that road is universally scorned in the nation. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. They used to be the Soviet Union. They used to be champions in the Olympics. No more. Okay? They've returned to being very mediocre. Vladimir Putin is attempting to resurrect that thing, that Soviet thing, in new Russia. And he seeks to restore some of it. So, anyway. So it's very, very interesting stuff. More on the intellectual than political, which is why it appeals to an intellect like myself. Yeah, you know, I kind of play it off like I'm not, but everybody knows who listens that I am. Okay? So let's get that straight right now. Let me read another email. Pompeo. Wow. Who knew? He's an army dude, too. It's about time. One of the things you refer to, Mac, around the world is your Emperor's New Clothes model. Can we just call it out as it is? Why do we take reset buttons to dictators? I know we have to deal with them, but is there really a need for the games that we see played? I don't think there is. I think it's beneath us as a nation. Many people ridiculed Ronald Reagan, but he stuck to his guns as the President of the United States. He believed in universal truths. And when you hear his speeches now, he speaks of America as a beacon of democracy. He doesn't shrink from it. And he told Gorbachev straight up, I will win, you will lose. You simply don't have the economy to sustain this. And ultimately, he was correct. Why, oh why, oh why do we as a nation, the greatest nation on earth, make no mistake about that? I don't care what China has in store. It's a dictatorship. There is no way the world is going to cozy up to a dictatorship. And watch when nations get sideways with China. Just wait and see what happens with that. America needs to stop apologizing, but it needs to be a better partner. It needs to learn how to work issues through. NATO is just one example of this. There should be some better course than George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, going, kind of nudging them and them not moving at all. On the other hand, you have Donald Trump browbeating them. The one thing I will say for Trump's course of action and rhetoric is that at least he got something done. America needs to be better. The leadership of George Bush, I believe, was an embarrassment to the nation. Can you imagine believing that you're going to go into a nation, you're going to knock it over, and then prop it up and leave? Especially a nation like Iraq, given what the rest of us have learned that they knew when they undertook it. The Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shiites, they're going to accept the transition, no problem. Let's just send the army home. Let's just disband the police. Let's disband the Border Patrol. Well, that all makes sense to me. What a bunch of complete idiots. What a bunch of complete, arrogant idiots. American leadership has to be better. And I believe, Mac, you're correct. If these are problems, trade problems, let's go negotiate. Let's sit down. Let's make a deal. And the deal at its focus needs to have the American middle class, something that is shrinking, make no mistake about that. I think your call earlier in the program for Trump to stop threatening, stop shit-talking, and start fixing is absolutely appropriate. He's been in office long enough. Let's take the training wheels off. Let's begin to solve some of these issues that have been pointed out over the course of the last several years. To quote you, Mac, we do wear the White House. We do wear the White House, the white hat, around the world. We need to start acting like it. We need to be better. I enjoyed all the audio this morning, by the way. I had not heard so much about Trey Gowdy until you mentioned him on a relatively regular basis. And I started paying attention to him. In my assessment, he does speak the truth, even when it's unpopular among Republicans. How refreshing is that? Enjoyed his little interview with Bret Baier. I also took note of the inspiration, Dan Coates. I hope you'll play that again. Enjoy the program. We need to be better. Interesting speech today by Pompeo. I like people that agree with me. Now, you know, look, I agree with the president, right? We have trade deals that are bad. Who pays for that? Who pays for that? American workers pay for that. Okay? American workers pay for that. The American standard of living pays for that. And so let's fix it. We've identified it. We've talked all this shit about it. Let's fix it. And I'm getting tired of the bloviating, but, you know, we don't fix it. Fix it. Fix it. So let's fix it and fix our relationships with the EU. Get our trade negotiators in there and let's work it out. Mr. Art of the Deal. Right now, all we have is the art of Twitter. Not so impressive. Not so impressive. The, all right. Another email. Finally, somebody speaks the truth relative to Iran. Anybody who's watched Iran for the last few decades has watched them maraud around the Middle East. Interesting stuff. They now face instability at home. I believe Pompeo's speech was aimed directly at that instability. In his speech, I believe I heard him say that the United States was standing up a new broadcasting arm that will broadcast into Iran 24/7. I think we all know that that is designed to encourage dissidents throughout the nation and broadcast the truth. The Iranian people need that. And the Iranian regime needs a boot placed on its throat. One of the things I find most interesting is even in the advanced world that we live in, the world is plagued by dictators still. The Kim family in North Korea. Chairman for Life Xi in China. Putin in Russia, the Ayatollahs in Iran. All of them seem bent on exporting their own brand of totalitarianism to other totalitarian regimes or semi-totalitarian regimes that are teetering on going out of business. It's amazing how much discord they sow in the world. Why can't we all just get along? It's been said before. So, the message that's been inside of me all weekend as I mulled this is Helsinki was stunning. And the tough guy that is at it again on Twitter today stood in the corner as Vladimir Putin's disinformation program, which he spewed all over the place in that press conference. You know, we have a treaty. Hey, nobody believes the treaty. Justice in Russia? Are you kidding me? This is a joke? And if you won't stand up there and speak the truth, come on. It's horrible. And I realize while he's standing there, you have to find a diplomatic way to do it. But when push comes to shove, you have to speak the truth. In front of the world that's watching? What a joke. If he can't or won't do that, I agree with Trey Gowdy. The people that advise him ought to quit. They ought to quit. And I will say this, and this to me is under the category of the whole deep state thing that Sean Hannity used to scream about. And now it turns out that there was people that acted, you know, against a duly elected president. They're there. They were there. I hate that. But when you see Donald Trump act a certain way, and then all of a sudden he does a 180, and he becomes Mr. Cuddles with Vladimir Putin, and you can't answer the why question, why? Why? Why is he doing this? Then, to me, it begs questions like, well, does he actually have something on him? Right? And if they were able to penetrate Hillary Clinton's server, right? What did they have on her? So again, I, and let's see, do I think? I mean, well, I hope not, but I see the behavior. The 180 that he did. Mr. Tough Guy on Twitter today got rolled. Ah, I mean, how do you not at least entertain that? Does that not give that credence? I think it does. Do I believe it? I don't want to. I don't want to believe the deep state stuff either. But how do you account for such dramatic behavior change? By the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, arguably, but maybe not so much in this case. Doesn't seem to be a job that he embraces. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the gunner's going to join us. Mike Musselman. We'll find out what the prince has going on. It's been hot in Texas. See what he did. Stayed inside. That's right. All right, more Almarine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.